end to mark the beginning. Segregation. Most of you have heard that word before. Legalized segregation has long since been a persistent part of our history that still echoes in issues today. But we're not talking about the history of racial segregation today. We're talking about the man who ended it all. Okay, maybe he didn't end it all. But Leonard Braithwaite did have a vital role in ending the Common Schools Act, a piece of legislation that allowed racially segregated schools to exist in Ontario for over 100 years. So how did he do it, and what did it take to get there? Let's first take a look at the Common Schools Act. It was Section 32, referred to as the Separate Schools Clause, that was being used to justify racial segregation. I was surprised to see what I found out. It reads, "In all cases where the teacher of any common school shall happen to be a Roman Catholic, the Protestant inhabitants of the section to which such school belongs shall be entitled to have a school with the Protestant teacher." This clause gave leeway for school trustees who oversaw this process to support racial segregation by approving requests for separate schools on the basis of not just religion, but race as well. Leonard Braithwaite. He wasn't just a lawyer. He was a rising politician who became the first Black Canadian to be elected into the Ontario Legislature, but that title didn't protect him from segregation either.
MPP Heckler,
1965.
The same year
the Common Schools Act was repealed, Braithwaite experienced discrimination in the legislature itself. A Winter Star article on March 2nd reported Braithwaite bringing up a prohibition issue about ice cream trucks when a member of parliament had interjected and made a joke about watermelon ice cream. Yasmin Jawani made an interesting argument in an article she wrote called The Criminalization of Race. She mentioned how a function of racial othering takes place in the form of trivialization. So even when race is acknowledged, it is not done so in full. The Winter Star's article did not bring enough attention to the stereotypes embedded in that statement about watermelons and Black people. This wasn't the only instance Braithwaite experienced conflict regarding his race. On February 27, 1969, the Globe and Mail reported that Braithwaite claims he was rejected a Queen's Council appointment because of his race. This article describes the Mine Minister's feelings on this matter, who demanded Braithwaite withdraw his statement because it reflected poorly on the cabinet and himself. This touches on a much deeper issue of media framing. Felix O'Dartley Wellington talked about this in his Erasing Race in the Canadian Media article. The media can use a linguistic framework called the grammar of race to convey racism through silence and omission like it did here. By framing Braithwaite as this dramatic politician who uses race as grounds every time he doesn't get what he wants, it erases the racism that could have potentially underpinned the minister's decision. So clearly, Braithwaite was dealing with his own fair share of racial issues in the 1960s. The motivation to end racial segregation in public schools makes sense. I found some archival clippings of SS No. 2, one of the common schools located in Niagara. There were only 7 kids and 1 teacher that made up the entire school, and surprise, surprise, they were all white. This was no doubt due to the separate schools clause. There was a fire that burnt down the school along with $400 worth in school books. But rest assured, the children survived and were shortly moved to temporary school. The kids were cared for quite a bit, seeing as their new school building was found for them soon after a fire. SS No. 11, coincidentally the last Black segregated school to close in Ontario, was a lot different from SS No. 2. There were over 15 kids, the building was poorly maintained, so there was no moving these children to a better establishment. The big question is, how did Braithwaite do it? When he became an MPP, he had to make a maiden speech. Braithwaite made history when he used his special uninterrupted time during his inaugural address to talk about racially segregated schools. He said, "There had not been a need for such schools since the beginning of the century." His comments had great influence on Bill Davis, the Minister of Education at the time. By the next year, he created a bill that amended the act altogether, and SS No. 11 was officially closed. I want to end this podcast with an important concept Carol Aylward talks about in her book, The Canadian Critical Race Theory: the duality of law. This plays out in Braithwaite's history with the Common Schools Act. Repressed and affected by similar racist experiences, he used law and his speech to break the status quo and fight for the end of racially segregated schools in Ontario. He He may not have ended all racial segregation in the world, but he sure did end it where it affected him the most. Home.